Turn to the chapter that we read in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. And we shall read again verse 12. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Amen. In these words, the prophet is showing us something of the comforts of salvation. The comforts of that salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual comfort for a spiritual people. It may be true for the Jews. Among them there were those who were Israelites indeed, who had experienced the spiritual circumcision and a new heart. And it may be true for the Lord's people in New Testament times. And we may say that the spiritual comfort for believers under the new covenant exceeds that which was ordinarily enjoyed by believers under the old covenant. We have the fullness of God's revelation. We have the complete Word of God. Believers under the Old Covenant were looking forward to the coming of the Redeemer. We can look back, having the New Testament Scriptures, to the Redeemer having come. God was manifest in the flesh, in Jesus Christ. We can look back to redemption accomplished. Christ dying on the cross and crying, "It is finished." And the resurrection of Christ testifying to a complete redemption. But the great thing for us is this. Redemption has been accomplished. Has it been applied? Has it been applied to your soul and to my soul? We should not rest until we have the comfort of knowing that we are among the Lord's people, His children, and all His children are dearly beloved children. They are lavished with the love of the Heavenly Father. He is a father indeed to them, His sons and daughters in Christ. He blesses them abundantly already in this life. And there are material blessings that the Lord's people enjoy. The world enjoys them too. But the world does not give thanks to God the giver. The Lord's people do. They certainly should. Because we say with one of old that we are not worthy even of the least of God's mercies. But each day we are granted by our Heavenly Father our daily bread. And we praise Him. And we see the love of our God, even in our earthly gifts. They too come to us through Christ the Redeemer, in divine love. Whether we have plenty, or whether we perhaps at times have little, we give thanks to God for our portion. But do we not praise Him above all for spiritual blessings? For the riches of His grace, for the abundance that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. the comforts of salvation. In our text, you will see an allusion to Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Isaiah is saying, and God through Isaiah, ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And you see in that, do you not? The exodus of God's people from Egypt. And that was to be repeated in Israel's history. There would be the captivity in Babylon, but there would be the return of the exiles. They would obtain deliverance from the Lord. And yet, even these things, these mighty works of God, they were nothing, they are nothing, in comparison to the great spiritual reality. And the great spiritual reality is the deliverance of God's people, Old Testament and New Testament, by Jesus Christ, who has set them free from the power of sin and of the devil. A ransom paid by the Son of God in our nature. And we learn in the text of the blessedness of those people who are able to call God their God and know Him as their God and their guide even unto death. In the wilderness of this world, in all their difficulties, the Lord's people are able to praise Him because of that which will never be taken from them, their salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, using the words of our text and thinking of what the Lord did for Israel, especially the deliverance out of Egypt, we shall consider, as God helps us, three spiritual blessings which make up the comfort of our salvation. We shall consider joy and peace and assurance. Firstly, the joy of God's people. For ye shall go out with joy. Israel in bondage, Israel oppressed. Now in Egypt, there was a king, Pharaoh, who did not remember Joseph, and he and the Egyptians treated the Israelites most unkindly, laid heavy burdens upon them, such that they groaned under their burdens. And they began to cry unto the Lord that He might deliver them. There you have the Lord's people when God's time for them to be brought to Himself has come. They have that heavy load. We always had it, but they did not realize it. They did not feel it. But it came to be a most heavy burden. The burden of their sin and their guilt before God. And they were under an oppressor. You could say that Pharaoh is a type of the devil. The oppressor of men. And the one who keeps them in bondage and will not let them go. He will not deliver up his captives unless and until a power greater than man has, for we have none. There's nothing in our will. There's no strength there unto any spiritual good unless a greater power comes to bear upon the souls of sinners. And that, of course, is the power of God. And it is the power of divine grace. That grace which comes to the Lord's people through Christ, who atoned for their sins. And the devil must give up his prey. He must release them. And they are set free. And they go out of the state of sin and misery, into the state of grace. This is the Lord's doing, and wondrous in our eyes. It is all in Christ. He is the Redeemer. He, by his Spirit, sets his people free. And there is an exodus, a going forth. They are delivered from their bondage to sin. And they go out with joy. When the Israelites went forth from Egypt, they spoiled the Egyptians. That was of God. And they got their release. And they went forth. And yet they faced an impossibility ahead of them at the Red Sea, and either side mountains, and behind them Pharaoh and his host. They must go forth. But how? Well, the Lord made a way. God's mighty arm laid bare. God, through Moses, causing the sea, the waters to part, and to be a wall on either side. And Israel, this great company, going through as on dry land. And those who pursued them, the Egyptians, even with their chariots, a mighty army, they could easily overcome God's people. Ah, but they could not. The Lord would not allow it. The Lord brought them to confusion. There they were in the middle of the Red Sea. And their chariots became stuck. And at God's command, through Moses, again, the waters returning. And Pharaoh and his host drowned in the depths of the sea, sinking like lead to the bottom of the sea. And you imagine the joy and rejoicing on the part of Israel when they saw that their great enemy was their enemy no more. Their enemy was overcome, defeated, and they were now on the other side of the Red Sea to make their way to the Promised Land. And you have in the book of Exodus Moses' song. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Have you gone out? Have you been delivered by God's grace in the gospel, in union with Christ? Have you been set free from your sin? If so, is there not joy in your heart? Do you not praise God continually? Do you not bless his holy name? That he ever chose you? Because that is at the heart of it. You cannot say that you made yourself to differ from other men. No, it is of the Lord's mercy. He will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Praise God for salvation, and be thankful if you have something of spiritual joy in your heart here this evening, worshipping God. That is a token to you that you have experienced God's deliverance in your soul. Joy, but also peace. Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. This might refer to Israel on the way to the promised land. They had a certain peace now, or they should have had it, because of the defeat of Pharaoh and his host. They were conducted in their journey, and it turned out to be a long journey indeed. 40 years. They were conducted in their journey by the Lord. The Lord's gracious presence with them. The pillar of light, fire, going before them, behind them. God directing them. To have that presence, the presence of the Lord, is everything. You see in the history of the wilderness journey many failings, many faults, many sins, and much unbelief on behalf of Israel in terms of the majority. There was always the few, those who maintained their trust in God, their confidence in God, but often they were very few, it seems. And the majority began to murmur and complain because the way was difficult, the going was hard. And so soon after the Exodus, they were looking back to Egypt. We can scarcely believe that, let alone understand it. And yet, we cannot be too hard upon Israel. Is there not something of that in us too? Is it not all too easy for our hearts and minds to turn away from God and from the contemplation of God's grace, God's salvation, and what it is bringing us to? Heavenly Canaan, the land that truly flows with milk and honey, heaven, and to be taken up with our difficulties here. We focus on the problems we have, and the opposition we face, and we forget the Lord's mercies and the promise he has given of his gracious help. Christ had to rebuke the apostles themselves, "O ye of little faith." Little faith. Apostles. Is that sadly true of us also? "Where is your faith?" said Christ. Where is our faith? The great need is to be looking unto Jesus. Christ goes before. He was the rock of Israel, the spiritual rock during that wilderness journey, and the godly among them were provided for in their souls by the grace of God in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. There was provision of a material kind. There was water from the rock. There was manna coming down, and there in the morning to be collected. There were the quails to satisfy their hunger. These were mercies from God. But to sustain the godly in Israel, the Lord was present with them, and they had union and communion with Christ, and they drank from the spiritual rock, and they ate of the bread of life. And that is what we need to be doing. The closer we live to Christ, the more we think upon Him, and the more we are in the Word and in prayer and in fellowship with those of like precious faith, the less our difficulties will seem to be difficulties. And it will be for us, as we find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How is it with your soul and my soul? Is there a peace within? This is a spiritual peace, a blessed peace. And great shall be the peace of God's children, those who walk in God's fear, and those who are close to Christ, their elder brother in the family of God. Conducted by God's word and spirit, having from the word the promise of safety and security, and getting victories over their sin and temptation by God's grace, they have a peace within. By his redeeming death on the cross, Jesus Christ provides redemption for his people, each and every one. And that redemption is deliverance from the power of sin. And there is that gracious ability for the believer to fight the good fight of faith, to resist the devil steadfast in the faith, and the spirit and the flesh, that war is going on. And by the indwelling Spirit of God, the believer in Christ makes progress. There is growth in grace. We are called to perfect holiness in the fear of God. That is the way. Having a godly fear, a reverence for the Lord and all that pertains to Him, for His word, and for the sacraments, and for His house, and for His day. All these means, making believing use of them, the believer goes forward. We were considering at the meeting last week, strangers and pilgrims, living as strangers and pilgrims. Is that how you are? Is that how you live in this world? If it is, then you know that here is not your final home. There is a heavenly mansion. Christ went to prepare a place for his people. And you're looking forward to that mansion. And your walk here below is purposeful. You're not idling or slacking. You're going straight on. Your eyes upon Christ. You're following his steps. And your hope, and it is a sure hope, is that one day you will enter in to that mansion Christ has prepared for you. And you have peace in your heart because of the promises of God. The spiritual peace, the blood of atonement, peace was made in the cross of Christ, and that peace is peace with God, a right relation with God, and that peace is the peace of God in the soul of those who walk in the Lord's ways and in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Here is a great blessing for God's people. Do you have the thought, sometimes at least in your mind, that perhaps through your own weakness, your own proneness to sin, that some strong, violent temptation may seize upon you, and you will be taken out of the way, the narrow way that leads unto life, and you will be brought back into that broad way that leads to destruction. That you will go back into the spiritual slavery, bondage that you were in before. Do you even perhaps sometimes feel that that has happened? You say, oh, my leanness, why is there so little to be seen in my heart and my life that gives glory to God, that speaks of true conversion, the fruit of the Spirit? Where is it? Have I indeed imagined that I have undergone a saving change when I am just as I ever were? Well, if you have such thoughts, are they not themselves evidence that you are certainly not in sin and misery? Because if you were, you would not be having these thoughts. You would not be troubled in the way that you are. And it is, we might almost say, a mark of grace in the Lord's people that they bemoan how poor they are, how lacking they are in every grace and the fruit of the Spirit. But they have this, the promise of God. And it's a promise rooted, of course, in the cross of Christ, the atonement of Christ, that if they have experienced God's forgiveness, if they know Christ in a personal way, as Lord and Savior, if he is to them dearer than any other, altogether lovely, then their bondage is ended, and they will never return to that bondage. They will never be a slave to sin again, as they previously were. Peace of conscience. That is one of the blessings that accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification.
the Lord's grace in the lives of his people. A peace within. Peace from Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And they shall be kept in this spiritual peace as they continue. Strangers and pilgrims, through the wilderness of this world, until they arrive at that haven which they desire to see. We come thirdly and finally to assurance, connected with what we have said already. The words at the end of the text, "The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." We understand this, of course, in a spiritual way. And the language is intriguing. It is speaking of the creation, inanimate things, mountains and hills, and living things, trees of the field. And these are singing. And these are clapping their hands. And that speaks of the rejoicing of the creation. Why should the creation rejoice? The creation, we are told by Paul when he writes to the Romans, is in bondage. And it is in bondage because a curse is upon it. And a curse is upon it because a curse came when Adam sinned and fell. But the curse, in terms of its resting upon the unconverted, the curse that God has put there, it has been borne by Christ. He was made a curse for his people. He has removed the curse from his people. They know the blessing of God. They know God as their Father. They know a full pardon for their sin. And they know joy and peace. And they also know assurance. The creation, when the believer comes to consider it, is seen in a new light. When the Lord deals with his own, when he changes their hearts, renews them within, when he comes in by his Spirit, there's new life. New understanding, new hope. And for the believer, looking upon the creation, it's seen now as God's creation. It's seen now in terms of what God has revealed in it. His goodness and wisdom and power. It retains something of its beauty as made by God, although the curse is upon it. It testifies of God and God's great goodness, God's abundant provision for man. And now, God's people value that provision, and they marvel at the beauty that they see around them, and they behold God's work in creation and in providence,
And they see God's providence in their lives. They see how it pertains even to them particularly. God is a father to his own. And as our Heavenly Father, he numbers the hairs of our head. And he watches over our every step. And we are of more value, far more value than sparrows. Yet God even looks after them. And for the believer, having the word of God, the creation and providence, these are God's works. And it is as though the creation and providence look now favorably upon us, as though they had the ability to rejoice at the salvation of God's people and the building of the church and the progress of the Lord's cause, firstly among the Jews, then among the Gentiles, and all working towards its glorious end, when Christ shall return, and when there shall be new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, and the creation itself shall be delivered from its bondage into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. When you came to know the Lord, when that saving change took place in your life, did not God's world, his creation, his work in providence take on for you a new light, and freshness, and beauty, and wonder? God is able to make all things serve the good of his cause. To make all things work together for good to them that love him, them who are called according to his purpose. All things in the will of God now serve the believer. You think of those verses in 1 Corinthians at the end of chapter 3. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Here is the Lord of creation, Jesus Christ. And all things are his. And if we are his, those all things are ours. The believer has that sense, that confidence, that assurance that he or she is a child of God, that God is our Heavenly Father, because God makes use of the creation and providence in our best interests. That is itself a comfort for the tried and troubled believer. Many of God's saints are like that. Their cup is full of difficulties, hard things. They've been given the wine of astonishment to drink, the things that have happened in their lives, the afflictions they've borne, themselves or their loved ones, the losses and the crosses. And if we did not have the Word of God, we would be in darkness and we would be in despair. But God has spoken, and He's spoken His word of promise, His covenant promise to His people, that in Christ they are saved with an everlasting salvation, and that everything is being worked by God for their good, even things that seem to be adverse, even things that seem to be evil. God will turn these to good. And it is for the believer, even in difficult times, in terms of his or her soul. And so the mountains break forth into singing, and the trees clap their hands. Because we are secure. We have said this before. The believer in Christ is secure here in this wilderness world with storms and tempests, with all manner of upheaval and turmoil. The believer in Christ is as secure here as though he were already in heaven. Because of the bond, the union with Christ. Now on our part, the union is by faith. And our faith may be very weak. But remember that faith itself is the gift of God. No man should boast. Faith is the gracious working of the Spirit in the soul. And though your faith may be weak, it will never disappear entirely. You may have dark clouds in your sky, but the Sun of Righteousness shines still, is risen with healing in His wings, and He shines upon His people, and that which goes low in the soul can be brought up again, and the faith that becomes weak, it may be strengthened anew. And our faith, if we are the Lord's, is maintained by God. Kept by His power through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And as you go on as a Christian, following Jesus Christ, you need not fear that anything will befall you which will so utterly overwhelm you as to carry you away far from Christ, as to be lost. It shall never be, because Jesus Christ shall lose none of His. God's gracious covenant, in that is the final salvation of His people, the perseverance that they will not turn back so as to be lost. They will continue with Jesus Christ. And God will give them tokens along the way. They will hear the singing, and they will hear the clapping. God encouraging them with His tokens, giving them a little brightness in their darkness, giving them joy and peace and assurance. they are on the victory side. We live in a day and generation when so many have no comfort. They try to find it, of course, in created things, in their pleasures and recreations, in their money, their family, maybe in lawful things, but you cannot find lasting comfort there. You cannot find consolation in your sorrows. True believers have true comfort, spiritual comfort, heavenly comfort. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in that which has been promised to them by their faithful covenant God. Even the inheritance of the saints in light. The perfect state of glory, where they shall behold Jesus Christ face to face, the King in his wondrous beauty. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word, and we pray that thou would give to thy people a growing assurance, that they would know much comfort from thee in difficult days and in all their wrestlings and strivings here below. And we pray that thou would waken those who are asleep in sin and cause them to seek forgiveness, and to be led by thee in that way everlasting, the way of faith, the way of trusting in Christ alone for righteousness before thee. And he is our righteousness and our strength. Bless us and forgive our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.